Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Yanks and Nationals. I watched a little bit of that last night. In fact, I was there right on time. It didn't work. I got home from Louisville like 6-something, 7 o'clock game, right on time. And I heard them say in like the first inning maybe that it was Hamilton night. So like all their graphics had players dressed up like characters from Hamilton. And then in the second inning, they had two of the actors, including Christopher Jackson, who my wife is very fond of. He was the original George Washington from Hamilton. Like, okay, hey, look, Christopher Jackson's like, okay. And then they mentioned how that he sang the national anthem at the game. Like, oh, this she would like to see. I would like to see this. But they don't show the anthem. I don't know. Maybe that's good or bad. They just don't. Is it always the case? Like, how many broadcasts anymore? Like NFL games, you usually don't see the national anthem, right? But they sort of got me into it. Here's Christopher Jackson. It's Hamilton night. He sang the anthem. Oh, cool. Well, you had to go search it, which I'm sure you could have done. I could have done. Just it was not a part of the Yes broadcast, unless it was like before 7 o'clock. And I missed it if it was. What a sad story. Sal Capaccio now on the Western Hotline. He never misses anything Yankees. So I'm guessing you were there for the whole thing last night, just a guess.
No, I checked in on it last night. I was down in Olean last night. I was at the Coaches versus Cancer dinner on Sunday. I'm the MC for that. Played golf on Monday, and then we had another awards and hors d'oeuvres and things like that last night, little dinner as well. So I actually listened to a lot of the game on the radio on my drive home from Olean last night, and I heard a couple of home runs, so that was cool.
It wasn't on at this benefit? The Yankee game wasn't shown in the banquet hall. Okay, I guess that's reasonable.
No, it was at a country club in the dining area of the country club.
I see.
No, it was not being shown right there.
Well, it's not a first that here we are at 4 o'clock on cutdown day when the deadline's 4 o'clock and we don't really know yet. Could happen that it gets popped right when we're talking. What do you make of what we do know?
I think that, you know, going through, I'm trying to keep track of everything. And honestly, Mike, as we sit here, like things could happen, right? And we have to talk about it and I'll let you know. But as I'm kind of piecing through this, looks like there's only maybe 7 spots or so that, need to be filled by the Bills. You know, so we'll see where that goes. And I'm reading Joe Biscaglia now. He just tweeted that, Tylan Grable is going to be on IR, to begin the season. So that means, you know, that's that spot. I thought that would be Cedric Van Pran Granger on PUP, did not count him on IR. So that will be a kind of a one for one for me. So I don't really have to go too deep into what I thought about the O-line. I had a 53-man projected roster, and so far that's really the only thing that's changed is I had Cedric Van Pran Granger going on to PUP, but it looks like Tylan Grable will go on to the IR instead of that being happening. So that means the Bills will start with 9 O-linemen, which is kind of their norm on what they do. And what I make of what's happened so far has been basically kind of expected. I guess that's the word I would use.
Mm-hmm. Let's hit a couple of these guys that have been reported released. Charlo, the linebacker. Mm-hmm. You were, you know, positive about him, I would say. I think anyway, listening to you talk over the span of camp. But was he always a long shot?
Yeah, I mean, but he really didn't show up to camp until pretty late, like right before the Giants game, I think, is when he played. I was positive on the way he played, but I've definitely never suggested he would make the 53. Okay. In fact, I've said pretty much this is the perfect guy to put on the practice squad. He's a guy that's going to do exactly what you tell him to do and coach him to do. He's an Army West Point graduate. I love that. You know, he's going to be disciplined and understand how to be coached. He's going to want to be a team player all the way. There's just never a spot for him. Never. Okay. Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, Dorian Williams, Joe Andreessen, Shaq Thompson. Could never see him cracking the linebacker lineup. The only way you could make a case for him would be to play primary special teams. But even then, I think there's just too many other guys that you'd have to have around the roster. So I like Jimmy Charlo and his chances to be on the practice squad. And then who knows, maybe through the year you get an elevation for hard work and having a spot and you get a nice little game check, but never a guy that I thought would crack the 53.
One guy that, not exactly the opposite, but I remember Bulldog last week putting up that we really haven't talked about this player at all, is Derek Forrest. Veteran safety who had been with Washington, reportedly he's on his way out too. Does that really surprise you?
No, didn't have him on my 53, but I would tell you that if we did this exercise back in May, I might have had him because I thought that they signed him to be a guy on the team. And then DeMar Hamlin comes along, and you think, okay, well, they kind of did that, and it was okay last year. He started, but you need better. Well, I think it's trending towards really the Bills keeping four safeties, five if you count Cam Lewis. Or Jordan Hancock, whoever you want to do it. But Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop, DeMar Hamlin, and then Jordan Hancock and Cam Lewis can both be safety and nickel. So I think that's, you know, you always had one spot that was going to not be there. To me, it was pretty much between Forrest and Hamlin the entire training camp. And from everything that I've seen, it's always been kind of DeMar Hamlin over him.
Okay. Receivers, KJ Hamler, Laviska Shenault. Shenault was getting, I mean, plenty of work in the return game, but reportedly, again, both guys are on the way out. Thoughts?
Yeah, and listen, Mike, I think that when we talk about return game, it's always a discussion. I think you have to parse kick return and punt return, right? I mean, they're not the same thing. They're two different skill sets, and they're two different things that the Bills think about and want guys for. Now, since the beginning, we've said, and I've made the point many times, Laviska Shenault has never returned a single punt in the NFL or in college in a regular season game. He does have an actual punt return to his credit for a touchdown in college because he picked up a teammate's fumble and he ran it in.
Yep.
But he has never actually caught and fielded a punt in an NFL or college game. They did it with him one time during a Bills preseason game. It was never, to me, looking like he was going to be a guy that they would put back there. Why? Because the Bills want to have a guy back there that they can trust and they can rely on to make good decisions. And that was always Brandon Codrington to me, unless someone else could really just kind of blow them away. The only options to me would not be Shenault. It would be either Elijah Moore or KJ Hamler. Even Curtis Samuel actually did it in college a little bit. But, you know, even those guys, like, it was never, they would have to really outrank Codrington. And no one on this roster ever outranked Codrington for me as far as a return man. Kick returns is different. That is Shenault's specialty. He can do that. It's also something that Brandon Codrington can do very well, actually. He had some good numbers last year. It's also something they have Ty Johnson for and they have Ray Davis for. So the only way Shenault was ever going to make this team, there were two ways, really. Number one was, oh my God, he's so unbelievable at kick returns. We just cannot not have him on the roster. He's got to be able to do that for us. Or, boy, he can really help us on offense. So, you know what? Let's keep him on the team because he can also then help us at kick return. And just those two things just never materialized for him. So maybe you get him back in the practice squad. We'll see where it goes. And maybe you have a guy that you can use in a pinch on offense and as a kick returner on game day if something were to happen to somebody who you earmarked for that spot.
Looks like, by the way, that Sean Dolak from UB made the Rams.
Yeah, I love it. Love it for him. And look, I know people are very up in arms about it. I hear from Bills fans all the time, can't believe the Bills blew it. They should have drafted Sean Dolak. Well, he went seven rounds, 32 teams. No one drafted him, so you could definitely say a lot of teams, every team missed on him, including the Rams, by the way, who then did sign him. I will tell you from what I know, the Bills, they looked into him as an undrafted free agent. He looked into the Bills, but when you're in that position, you have options. And from my understanding, is Sean Dolak felt he had a better path to make the roster with a team like LA than Buffalo. And I think he chose right because of this. I still wonder, Mike, if he would have made the team in Buffalo, considering. Now, maybe as a special teamer, and I just don't think he would have beat out Joe Andreessen. Don't think he would have beaten out any of the top three guys, Bernard, Milano, and Williams, obviously. And I believe Shaq Thompson was brought here for a specific role and specific reason, to play in base sets, to be a big nickel back. So that's five linebackers. Where would Sean Dolak have fit? He could have been kept as a sixth developmental linebacker on the practice squad, and that's great and good for him. I just don't I just don't think it's some indictment on the Bills or Brandon Bean for not bringing in Sean Dolak, considering looking what their linebacking core looks like right now.
With Sal Capaccio, it's cut down day. We don't, as we speak here, just about 10 minutes after 4, have the official list. Joe Biscaglia tweets that Shavers made it. He's got a source reporting that. Did you get to a point where you thought that that was pretty, I mean, not automatic or likely or what?
I have him on my 53, yes. So my 53-man roster included Tyrell Shavers, the one I did on Sunday morning, which I retweeted out today and adhered to and said there's nothing that they've done that's changed my mind. I have Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, Samuel, Moore, and Shavers as the wide receivers. I think that's exactly what's going to wind up happening here. It feels like now with Chenault, we know that KJ Hamler's gone. I don't think they're keeping Christian Wilkerson and Deion Kane. I haven't seen anything on them specifically, but maybe it's already been out there. We'll see. So, yeah, I think Tyrell Shavers was always right at that cut line for me. What it always came down to for me was not can he play special teams, would he be able to do enough and physically hold up on special teams? Could they trust him enough to put him on the field on special teams? If you're going to be the sixth wide receiver on an NFL team, you have to play special teams. Otherwise, there's no justification for you being on the team. And to me, that was always Tyrell Shavers, what he had to show. He played 50%, 12 out of 24 special team snaps on Saturday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Those are crucial 12 snaps for him to try and make the roster, and it appears as though that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good story. What now, Sal? So he makes that receiver room, which has been, you know, I don't need to tell you, questioned in the past as a group. Does Shavers end up, or even like right away, in your mind, play any kind of a significant role? Like, is he in uniform week one? What will they want from him other than what you've said already?
Yeah, I don't even know if he gets a game day jersey, to be honest, Mike, right? I mean, like, there's 53 guys on the roster. You dress 48 on game day, as long as you have 8 offensive linemen, which they'll do. So that means there's, you know, 5 guys who don't get a jersey. I think Tyrell Shavers could be a guy that doesn't get a jersey. And if he is getting a jersey, then he's going to have to be a gunner. He's going to have to be a guy that blocks on kickoffs and kick returns and things like that. So that's his role. And then maybe you give him a play or two on offense and you have something built in for him specifically. At this point, it would be hard for me to see him, you know, out-snapping Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore. But with the injuries that Samuel's had, with the unavailability, you never know. Maybe you get to a point where over the next couple of weeks, he's not necessarily on the field, you know, practicing enough, and you feel like Tyrell Shavers gives you a better opportunity to have a guy that you're going to rely on and be available, and maybe he does start getting eating into some of those offensive snaps.
Got to be impressed with, I say this, the moments he had in the preseason, at least, Shavers.
Oh, yeah. You know, Mike, he had a great catch, obviously, on Saturday night. I got to tell you a funny story. On Thursday, we were out at the stadium for a practice. It was the team decided to practice inside the stadium, and one of the reasons why they wanted to give the starters a full kind of practice because they weren't going to get the game, right? So give them a game environment type of practice, like an inter-squad scrimmage sort of, offense against defense. So it was in the stadium, that kind of deal. But they went through their normal routine of practicing, and they're doing throws. You know, Josh Allen and the quarterbacks are throwing to the receivers in the end zone, and there's some fade balls that are coming. They're just working on the fade. And I'm walking, and you know how the stadium is set up, where you're really close to the wall down there in the corner, right?
Yeah.
Well, we were in the stands, but the wall is real close to the end zone. So Tyrell Shavers up. I grab my phone, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to record some of this. Because, you know, it was still during the shooting period. And I just didn't grab it in time. And Tyrell Shavers made an unbelievable one-handed catch the other side with his right hand, like the other end zone that he was last week. Mm-hmm. And he made it, and he got both feet down, and he caught it and he ran right to the wall and he, you know, stopped because the wall is so close. And it was like right in front of me. And I go, wow, nice catch. And he said, thank you. And he went back and I'm thinking, man, I can't believe I didn't get that on video. And then he went out and did it on Saturday night. Right. And you're like, yeah. Oh my God. Now everybody sees him do it. And I told him after practice or after the game, I said, I can't believe I didn't get that catch on video, but you know, you did it out here and you showed everybody what you could do. Do you think you did enough to make the 53-man roster? And his response was interesting. He said, I do, but I thought that last year.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He didn't make it last year, and I thought that was interesting.
We have a clip I've heard played today where he talks about that he's put on 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like, is that, that's been yeah. part of this story, that he's bigger.
He is a little bit bigger, I would say, but I mean, he said 10 pounds, but you know, when you're already an NFL player at that size, it's a little tough to see sometimes. Sure. These guys, the way that they're built and the way they put on muscle mass and things like that. But I would say, yeah, that's probably right. You know, he was a skinnier guy. He's still pretty skinny when he came into the league, but I would say I would notice that he's a little bit bigger. I'll tell you this, for the first time, actually, something I noticed was last week, maybe in Chicago, I can't remember what it was. And I happened to be on the field standing next to Dalton Kincaid, and I thought to myself, you know, I actually do think, like, I can see. I think he's gotten bigger. Like, you know, I didn't kind of notice that a little bit as we went through training camp, but I do think he's gotten a little bit bigger.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. We don't have the full list of Bills cuts, but several have been announced. Has there been no update on Trey White since we last spoke?
No update on Tre'Davious White, and my guess is that means that he's going to be on the 53-man active roster, not on IR to return or anything like that, which is really good news because, like I said, with the reports coming in about Tylon Grable going on IR to return, I'm also expecting Max Harrison, it's not official yet, to go on to IR to return. You only get two of those guys that are able to come off when you do it today. Then you don't have to put them on the 53. You do it today. They have to sit out 4 weeks, then they can come back. Well, that wouldn't include Tre'Davious White. And the fact that they released Dane Jackson, we know that from reports from earlier, just kind of really trends well for me for Tre'Davious White. What we don't know, Mike, is how significant still would he be injured as far as missing any time coming up here, right? Even if it's not long-term, what term is it? Is it 1 week? Is it 2 weeks? Is he available for the Baltimore Ravens? Is he not? I think that still has to be answered.
Sure. Rasul Douglas to Miami, right? That's interesting. They needed a cornerback badly.
They did. You know, Rasul was a free agent for this whole offseason, and he made a few visits, including one to Miami. And I don't really know, you know, what held that up, him not signing. My guess is he wanted a little more money than people wanted to give him. And, you know, the Miami Dolphins are in a team that's they're really banged up right now in their secondary. They've had some injuries. So they go back. They reach out. They get Rasul. I think they pay him $3 million is from, I think, what I read earlier today. You know, Rasul was amazing when he came to Buffalo after that trade, as we know. He didn't have a great year last year. He was a guy that we were just waiting for that pick. We were waiting for that game-changing play, and it never came. He wasn't terrible, but I think the expectations were so high after that first half season he was in Buffalo that, you know, it was coupled with the fact that he was, you know, he was okay, with the fact that he was so good the year before that it kind of soured even a little bit more, I think, of like what he was last year. But certainly a name that a lot of people brought up here after Tre'Davious White's injury, if the Bills would reach out to. And I would say that is the kind of player that, hey, he knows the system. You could bring him in. He could probably play for you in a pinch because you don't have to onboard him as quickly. But good to see him, you know, get a job and be back in the league. I'm sure that's great for him.
I would say, not that it's much different than what you said, he's somebody that you need plays from. You know, that was kind of his brand, right? Douglas coming from Green Bay, like, just he might be a little bit of a gambler, but it's going to pay off for you sometimes. I mean, he had no interception. I think 5 official passes defensed. Just nothing really came from it. And I think I don't know what his PFF grade was as we speak, but I think you kind of need that from a player like that.
Yeah. I mean, the Bills, what's interesting is, did Rasul Douglas even have one interception last year? I don't think he did, right?
No.
And this is from a team that led the league in takeaways.
Right.
Right? I mean, a lot of their takeaways came from linebackers, and the corners didn't have a ton. The safeties had some. Taylor Rapp, right? Damar Hamlin had a couple. Safeties, the linebackers had some. They punched balls out. There were fumbles. There were just, you know, luck fumbles, things like that, you know, on the offensive line, defensive line as well. But it is interesting that of all those takeaways they had last year, and Rasul Douglas didn't have one.
Right. No Bills player had more than 2. We had 7 guys last year, including Austin Johnson, who had 2 picks for the Bills. A few more minutes left here with Sal. There's probably not one answer to this, but how is it that we go past 4 o'clock year after year and don't have the list?
Well, I think that every team does it differently, first of all. Last year, we got the Bills' official announcement at 5:16 p.m. The year before that was 6:01 p.m. I would say, Mike, it's a little bit like hockey to me. Where
the deadline? Trade deadline?
You file everything with the league, and then when it's all kind of approved or whatever, however the process is, you put it out. And I would tell you that my guess is, looking at some of the other teams around the league, some PR departments just decide, hey, this is what we did, and let everybody know. It feels like the Bills are the type of organization that says, let's just make sure everything goes through. We're all good here. We can be buttoned up, and then we'll let everybody know. And it feels like that's kind of what's happening.
It's possible, I guess I want to say, I know we've already talked about Trey White, but you might be waiting, not past four, but you might be waiting into the day to make a final judgment on him, which can affect something else that you do with the roster. Doesn't even have to be him, of course. Could be anybody that's kind of on the cusp. But when you see these lists team to team, they almost always include a couple of names that are either IR designated to return or not, you know, waived, injured. Different designations can maybe complicate things.
Yeah, for sure. And I tried to, this morning on the Extra Point Show, I really tried to go through all of those things, but it gets complicated and there's a lot of terms. You know, I think one of the big things you have to remember is the difference between active and reserve. Those are the two words that really matter. You know, active is the 53-man roster active. That's what people are. When you go on a reserve list, reserve pup means you don't count because you're on reserve. And I know it sounds funny to say, but to me, it's like putting something on layaway. That's what it really is, right?
Oh.
They're over there. You're not. Yeah, you're kind of paying for it, and it's over there, but you don't really get it until you need it, until you can, you know, bring it onto your roster and put it in your home, whatever it is. So that's what that term means. So when you have injured reserve, reserve pup, reserve suspended, that's the difference between active roster, 53 guys on the active roster count, and then you have 16 practice squad players who are not on the active roster, a 17th with an international designation. All that stuff with Jordan Phillips unfolded yesterday, and I know that you weren't on, but I don't know if you saw how that was unfolding yesterday and everything that went down, but we can go through that real quick. What happened was, this is all procedural stuff, right? Which is, we found out the Bills were going to sign Jordan Phillips at defensive tackle. And the initial reporting was he's signing on the 53-man roster. And everybody, including myself, thought, okay, what does that mean? Is Dwayne Carter out? Is Daquan Jones out? Is Larry Ogunjobi out, even though you don't need his roster spot? Like, what's happening here? While later, I tweeted out, I found out the information I got was, hold on, he's signing to the 90-man roster, but he's going to be released, and then he will be on the practice squad. And the reason is because they had space on the 90-man roster, get him in the building now. Get him into the weight room, get him in with the trainers, get him into his coaches' meetings, his team meetings, all that. That way they can do it a day and a half early, and then they still will do the procedural of getting him off the roster and then back on the practice squad so he doesn't miss a beat.
Okay, so we still have to wait on the official list. I might buzz you again if that's possible, if that's okay with you.
Sure, sure. I'll be around. Let me know.
Thanks, Al.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearances on WGR brought to you by Outlet Liquor, George Urban Boulevard in Depew. Your place to buy a case, Outlet Liquor. What's your outlet? The secondary is a question for this team going into the season. The Ravens week one. I mean, the Ravens, Lamar Jackson last year, I mean, threw 41 touchdown passes, 4,000 yards passing. I don't think the Ravens really, if it was true before, I'm not sure it is now, need to be designated as a team where, not that it's their strength necessarily, but they can throw it. You know, a caller earlier mentioned injuries and the playoffs, and I'm thinking about last year's playoff loss to Kansas City, and like, who even missed that game? There probably were a couple guys, but nobody comes right to mind having missed the game against the Chiefs. The Ravens missed Zay Flowers for their game here. I don't know if it was anybody else, but that's a pretty big loss. Week one, a week from Sunday night. Here to talk about the season, which is getting close, the cuts, and we'll see what we get over the course of the day, but not the official list yet, as we just talked about there with Sal. Also, it's National Dog Day, so there should be some time carved out for dogs. I think they deserve it. My Margot does. I know Margot deserves it. She's flying high. 803-0550 for your calls. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
Yeah, it's exactly where I want it to be. I think it's really, really fun. You know, this defense is going to be really creative. I know what you see in the last three preseason games is like that much of a gigantic playbook. But we've got some cool stuff on there. And, you know, I think there's, you know, some different ways to sort of think about blitzes and pressures and movements. And, you know, that's always the interesting part, you know, that I don't think I knew about coming to a new program is like the football 101 is the same, but like learning a new style and a new like philosophy of how to attack offenses, I think has been really cool. And it's just sort of opened up my own toolbox of how I understand football and, you know, can kind of get the answers to the test a little bit.
All right. Michael Hoyt. I assume when he said that much, given he was talking about what the preseason consists of, he did like that much, not that much. Very small, you know, the thumb and the finger barely separated, I'm guessing is what that looked like. We won't see him for a while. Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi each suspended for 6 games. The preseason is over, so there that starts. And the Bills' bye week is in week 7. So the first time they can practice then, but the first time either will be eligible to play is week 8, October 26th, 2 months to the day from now at Carolina. Do you have the schedule down? Do you know it?
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I still don't, like, I think if I had to guess it blind, I would be right. But, you know, in fantasy tournaments, the big weeks are weeks 15 through 17. And whenever I hear, and this happened recently, because those guys that I listen to, or even the show that I do, you're talking about that sometimes. And those weeks, I know week 1 and week 17, and I know 15 and 16 a little bit. But when I hear the Bills go to Cleveland in week 16, for some reason, that always throws me. I don't have that, like, burned into my brain. And, you know, I'll get by. I don't think this is something that I'm going to, you know, suffer for, is not having the Bills week 16 matchup memorized. But Bills at Browns, week 16, probably 1 o'clock Sunday. That's what it looks like for now. I made that trip this weekend. I went to Louisville, and it was about 9 hours. I'd never been there. My grandparents, when I was a kid, lived in southern Ohio, and we'd make that trip every summer. So it was a little bit sentimental for me driving through Columbus into Cincinnati, and then on that drive going toward Louisville, you're barely in Cincinnati. You just sort of like maybe 15 minutes, and then you're over the bridges into Kentucky, and that's it. You don't really get to Cleveland. You turn south before you get to Cleveland, then down through Columbus, which is pretty big, biggest city in the state. Then you get to Cincinnati and then on to Louisville. And what I was thinking, especially having spent very little time in my life in, you know, those parts. Like I said, I'd never been to Louisville before. Cincinnati was just a couple of times, and where my grandparents lived was, you know, an hour or so north of Cincinnati. But I was thinking about, it was very exciting to me knowing that so many cities that I've rarely, if ever, been to were all within sort of reaching distance. Like Nashville, it was 2.5 hours from Louisville, two and a half to 3 hours, never been there. Indianapolis is about that, the other direction. I've only once been there. Well, it was for a week. My daughter was born there, but, you know, that's the only time I ever went to Indianapolis, I think. St. Louis to the west was like 4 hours. I didn't go to any of these places. I just was excited about how reachable they kind of all were. And I was comparing that to living here, and we have that too. I mean, that Bills-Browns game, a lot of you will go to that game. I mean, it's obviously very doable, 3 hours to Cleveland. Pittsburgh's not quite 4. Detroit is 4. And, of course, Toronto. So, you know, you knew all this, but I was excited about that. in Louisville. I got there to the drafts. I went down there for fantasy football, go figure. And the drafts were actually in Indiana at a casino, which was maybe 20 minutes south of Louisville or west across the border. And on Saturday, my drafts were at 11 in the morning, or 10:30 in the morning and 11 at night. I'm like, oh, I'm at this casino, Adam Krautwurst, a couple of his friends, other 5 or 10 other people I know just from around the country are there for these drafts. Like, oh, this is going to set up perfectly because I'll draft Saturday morning. We'll go out Friday night, in the casino. Saturday morning draft, get done like 12:30, quick lunch, and then I can go do Louisville. I was never going to go to like Nashville or anything, but I'll at least go to bum around Louisville for a few hours to see it. And I was telling like friends that this was my plan, and then back for the 11 p.m. draft. And I was even saying it out loud to them at the same time, like, I'm never going to do that. I'm not leaving this building for 2 days. I know it. I'm not. I'll be at the casino. When that morning draft ended, Friday night went late, and I knew I had Saturday night. I went to bed, turned golf on, and then it was like dinner time. I mean, just whoops. So I definitely, missed out. Because there's lots to do there. The Ali Museum. My son and wife were just there. They went to see the Ali thing, the Louisville Slugger Museum. It seems like a happening kind of place. For me, what was happening was a casino in southern Indiana for like 72 hours. That was what was actually happening to me. It's cool, though. I mean, these are hardcore players and drafts, and I just love that challenge. I'm happy to talk about fantasy a little bit here. I kind of feel like I always do, but a lot of you will have drafts this week, this weekend, Labor Day weekend. I'm starting to get more questions just for ideas. Eric Wood on Sunday was like, all right, Mike, I bug you every year. Who do you like? Like, what are you doing in these drafts? And I gave him, I could have written him an essay. Like, I thought of just calling him, but I banged out a few texts, early round strategy, sleepers, this kind of thing. And he then sent me, this was an auction that Eric does. Those are great. And he sent me his finished product. I'm like, buddy, this looks like a lot of teams that I would draft. Load up on your receivers, elite quarterback if you want it, elite tight end if you want it. You can live without. And then just throw your darts at running back. That's one thing with the Bills and the cuts, which we still don't have all of them yet. There really isn't, for a fantasy player, and I think really this is most fans, you have to admit, you don't have to, but I would say about most fans, the skill position guys, there's two categories of players that can win fans over in the preseason, training camp preseason, that sort of become the darlings of the preseason. One is running backs or receivers. There have been lots of these guys over the years. And as popular as any of them ever were, almost never has the player been good in the league. Like, it's not that they couldn't be, but you're talking about little to no draft capital, and that just is a big strike against a guy right away. Then he gets cut, and he's somebody else's, trash. He's some other team has disposed of this player, wasn't really drafted in the first place. That player is a real long shot to make it. But if you think about over the years, players that you cared about from this time of year, from camp in the preseason, that sort of became a little bit buzzy. This is what Shavers is. Although Shavers has been on the team for 2 years, those guys kind of just disappear. And they don't make the team. If they do, it's just sort of practice squad or whatever it is. They don't make the team, and then they're kind of never heard from again. There's two buckets. One is those guys, and those are usually running backs, or it can't even really be a quarterback. When was the last time there was a quarterback here that sort of rose up in the preseason to the point where, like, there was a clamor for the – I don't even know who that would be. Like, how long – it's obviously got to be before Allen. Once they drafted Allen, it was always going to be him if he was good. That's 8 years ago, 7 years ago. And I don't know, but I'd have to really think about that. Running backs and receivers make a few plays and, they get talked about. That's one. The other is if there's ever anybody local. anybody local becomes like, oh, Joe Andreessen. And he did make it. That guy gets we care about him. We care about local. We care about running backs and receivers. So as I say all that about fantasy, like, it's sort of what we talk about the most in the preseason. And I was starting to say with the Bills, is there really any drama? We thought maybe there was going to be some with Cook. And there was for a minute, but he got his contract. They didn't draft any other running back. It's the same as before. Cook, Davis, Johnson. It's the same group, probably the same pecking order, probably the same snap share, I want to think. We'll see if it's different. Maybe you want to weigh in on that. And receiver, it's been one of the, well, Shavers, but it's been one of these kind of long shots, Chenault, right, or Hamler. Elijah Moore making it, I'm kind of thinking that that's what's going to happen, but we don't know for sure. That's a little bit interesting. Does he get much playing time? I don't know. They're just not. I mean, obviously there are teams where a lot of that is up in the air. New England, we've had, tried to figure out here all summer, those of us who've been, dabbling, what their receiver room will look like. Like, what happens to Pop Douglas? Mac Hollins is there, of course. Diggs is there, and an assortment of others. As I'm looking now, it looks like their roster is out, and they kept 8. Kyle Williams, rookie, Kayshon Boutte, Kendrick Bourne, Javon Baker, and Efton Chisholm made it. That's also not to include Jalen Polk, who was a second-round pick last year that went on IR, I believe. So you've got it's a big group. Two or three more than we'll end up having, probably two more than we'll end up having here. But, there isn't – all I was saying here is there isn't that particular kind of drama about the Bills roster that there is on certain other teams. I guess that's what comes from being good. A lot of stability, a lot of known commodities here. 803-0550 for your calls. I need to take a break. Mike Shope here on WGR. Welcome back. I'm Mike Shope. Would love to hear from you. Your thoughts on the upcoming season, 803-0550. Bills, I meant. Didn't say it. Not Sabres, but I don't know. Sabres crossed my mind last night, talking with a friend about the schedule and picking a couple games out for my daughter to maybe get to. So check that out last night. It's about as far as it went. One Bills item that I don't know how much there is to say about it, but I haven't brought it up yet, is that Mike White was let go. So it's Mitchell Trubisky again. And Bulldog gets pretty fired up about Mitchell Trubisky. And that's fine. I'm the same way about maybe 25 backup quarterbacks in the league as I would be about Trubisky. I don't expect most, if not all, backups to be good enough for it to matter, really. Earlier I was talking about, when was the last time, for as many times during preseason, that we get excited about a certain player? Usually it's a running back or a receiver. Remember Christian Wade a couple of years ago? He had his legions. Different receivers over the years are always the same. They're always a big underdog, a long shot to make it based on draft capital, probably not drafted at all. And so they develop kind of a following. Who was the last quarterback like that? A listener tweeted Jeff Toole at me, and I guess I don't remember him in the preseason. I remember him in the regular season, so I guess it stands to reason that he was this in the preseason at whatever year that was, 2013 maybe, or around there. So that might be the right answer. Was Peterman ever a fan favorite in that window where he was around? The year, this is hard for me sometimes now because so many years have gone by, but the year where he starts the opener is the year after the debacle against the Chargers. Like, that's, he's Tyrod Taylor's backup. In fact, he plays in the playoff game in Jacksonville. Taylor gets hurt, and Peterman goes in and I think gets intercepted, right? Is that how that game ended? Like, he's in that game. And then the next year, after the Allen pick, it's Peterman who wins the week one start. I don't remember ever arguing about him. I just, like, there have been guys all through the drought. We went 15 rounds on a lot of those quarterbacks, you know, Lossman and guys that, Ryan Fitzpatrick, guys that definitely had their fans. With Lossman, it was more hope. With Fitzpatrick, there were some real highlights. I don't know. I don't remember ever being, like, at all close to sold on either guy. So we went 15 rounds on some of these quarterbacks. I don't remember ever doing that with Peterman. I just remember being baffled by, like, what it was that he had that Sean McDermott was buying into. That's how I remember him. Not like, oh, wow. And I know Bulldog has cited his preseason stats from that year. He boxed himself in, McDermott, in a way, by making it a competition. And so here were these great statistics that Peterman put down, and, you know, maybe he had to be the winner. I think it's not so much boxed himself in, like, he couldn't have started Josh Allen as a rookie. I think they didn't want to. And I bring up, whenever this comes up, I think about it. I wonder what they thought was ideal. How many weeks? Here you've got, take Jackson Dart with the Giants. The most important, and they might have a new coach in time here, the Giants, but like the Bills when they drafted Allen, and there's no close second, the most important thing that organization has to figure out is Jackson Dart. And your first question is when to throw him in. He's had an excellent preseason. I feel like there's some buzz about him even starting week one. I doubt that'll happen. Maybe they've even made that announcement. But, you know, the conventional thinking has been that the Giants will lose games with Russell Wilson, and then eventually Dart will go in. But that's the point is, if this is the most important decision you have, then you probably have an idea of how many games you want that to be. Sure, if Russell Wilson never loses, then you just stay there. Not forever, I think, but, you know, that happens sometimes too. But what's perfect? Is it half the season? Is it less, more? Probably wouldn't be much more. So that's what the Giants have. And that's what the Bills had with Allen. What happened? Peterman was unplayable at halftime. Well, I think he played into the second half, but they got down 40-0 to Baltimore or something, some score like that. And, like, okay. And then they went with Allen in week two, and they've never looked back. But I doubt they wanted him to start week two, because if you want him to start week two, you start him in week one. So whatever the plan was got scuttled, and I guess it's worked out. It's worked out pretty well. So, you know, maybe they were a little bit fortunate there. I mean, what? If he went in week six, was it going to be different? No, I'm not saying that. I've always wondered what they wanted. 803-0550 for your calls. We'll get these cuts at some point. Still looking for them. Any of it matter to you? Tyrell Shavers, this Trubisky example, like, he's going to be the backup, it seems. Someone else, let me know. I'm watching that. I'm more interested in just getting the season going and how it all feels. I've got different odds to bring up, exact order of the AFC East, different things that I think will be interesting to talk about. And Trey White, of course, is a big one. We'll see what happens with the cuts, if there's some designation on him or not. And if not, I mean, that's probably a really good sign. Lines are open for you. Thanks for listening. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.